right, now I'm recording.
We can do it again.
All right. It has to be believable.
I can't do this again. I'm not a good actress.
You have to be in the moment.
You have to be in the moment. Welcome back. This is Head Full of Hannibal, your Baltimore-based Fannibal podcast. I am Amy.
I'm Jen.
And we are your hosts with our producer, Justin, who has a mouthful of food. Because even though some people hate listening to people eat on microphone, we have a delicious spread today. We have a rosemary, roasted garlic, and some kind of like Parmesan cheese focaccia.
It's really good. There's really huge chunks of roasted garlic on top.
Yes, it's from the bakery in our neighborhood called Batch. And I have some brown butter spice cookies that I got that are like, they're huge, like the size of my hand. And local apples and local Concord grapes. And Jen got us delicious mead.
It's so good. It's the apple butter sizer that they just put out for the Equinox last weekend. So it's a limited batch run from Birmingham Meadery in Delaware.
Run by giant Vikings.
If you're ever heading towards the beach in Delaware, stop by Birmingham and Vikings will tell you about how they make mead.
All their meads are short meads.
I didn't ask that question.
It seems like they do pretty fast turnarounds because they use a lot of like seasonal ingredients and
right. Yeah. I think so. They're all delicious. When I stopped there last weekend, we got a flight of 10 for our tasting, and they did them from like semi-sweet, dry, and they don't have too many of those. I think they had like 2, and then they're mostly sweet meads, but they were all really different. Yeah, it was really fun. They got a fire pit in the back, so it looks like, you know, you could definitely have a Viking shindig. Party there. Shindig.
Well, I saw they had like a Viking weekend.
Yeah, they did. They did over the summer. So, lovely people, lovely mead. This apple butter mead is delicious.
Mm-hmm. We're having it over ice because it stopped raining in Baltimore and it's sunny and it's nice out and it's amazing. Mm. And so we can still drink ice, stuff with ice in it and not be freezing. We'll have to, when it gets cold, we'll do hot buttered rum again.
Yeah.
That was really good.
We got to revisit all the hot drinks.
Yum. So today we are covering season 2 of Hannibal, episode 7, Yakimono, which is in the kaiseki meal, flame grilled meat, a name given to several Japanese dishes in which pieces of meat are marinated, skewered, and grilled, which I felt was like a big metaphor for Chilton. I mean, he hasn't been set on fire yet, but it was the thing where I'm like, oh, he's in the hot seat.
Oh, yeah. Like, that's the all know they killed Kenny episode once again.
Sorry, I'm watching I'm looking at my tablet as you're getting okay. Your name's popping up on my stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, technology is amazing.
Isn't that crazy?
But this is also Will Graham is finally the fuck out of jail.
And I forgot about that in this episode until I started watching it because I was looking at the list and I'm like, oh man, the horse episode is next week. I'm so excited for the horse episode. I don't want to go through this one first. And then I realized this one had lots
of kitchen scene.
Special Hanagram moments and I got excited.
And I'd forgotten there was so little fanfare to him getting out. There's no like courtroom procedure. Right. There's no discussion. It's suddenly like Chilton's letting him out.
Yeah.
Because I was like, what's happening? He's putting his coat on?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So we'll get there in a second. I have a couple of links. I sadly don't have any like fic recs or anything because if I have been reading, it's still been regular books.
Mm.
I don't really have anything there. But I did have – pardon me for a moment. I'm going to chew this piece of apple.
Chew. They're extra crunchy. Okay.
The first thing, and I know, I'm going to say that, the newsletter, the Hannibal newsletter that Ro does popped up and I just happened to be able to do a quick scroll through and I was like, Jesus Christ, there is so much going on.
It's really exciting.
It is so, I know we've linked it before, but I'll link it again. Mm-hmm. So if anybody needs to get on there, if you want to know stuff that's happening, like in the fandom in person or online or like any sort of projects or anything even slightly related. I mean, there's like another, there's an AOB Big Bang coming up, which is not really my thing. Mm-hmm. There was some project where people are getting paired up for some sort of maybe actual physical exchange. Mm-hmm. And they pair you up with like nine, it's like nine people or 10 people. Mm-hmm. They were kind of geographically close, I think. And it's for an exchange to happen that'll only, like, you get ready now, and then when season four happens, you send each other your stuff. So it's, like, in reserve. I think that's what it was. I read it really quickly.
I just want to tell you right now, for if season four happens, I am paired up with you, Amy, and okay. I'm going to drive your house with, like, all the liquor and snacks.
Do you say that vuvuzuela? Is that what they are? Like blasting something out of your car?
Right. Yeah, it's going to happen.
It will be. I'll be like, I can't come to work. I was up drinking all night with my friend Chad talking about Hannibal. It's going to be amazing.
Yeah. But the newsletter is so great because it's so great for morale, too, just mm-hmm. to like look at the list and see all the stuff that's still going on. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, every time I see a Tumblr post that's like, is the fandom still happening? Mm-hmm. I'd be like, have you seen the newsletter? I saw some people just saw Hugh's show.
Yeah, I want to get up there to see it before.
And they said it was really good. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they list the other projects that people are in and stuff that's happening mm-hmm. and all that. So it is alive and kicking. Mm-hmm. Unlike some of the people in Hannibal. This was linked in there, I remember. The Mind Palace comic. Have you taken a look at that?
I took a brief look at it. I did not get a chance to read through it, but the artwork looked amazing. Mm-hmm.
There's some of it. It reminds me, of some of the work through, the Sandman comic, but then I realized exactly what it was. And it's also reminded me of Constantine because it's, how the person draws Will's glasses mm-hmm. and like, cause you can't see his eyes. I do them a lot mean. Of the time, yeah. And I realized, I was like, what does this remind me about the artwork from those other titles? Mm-hmm. I haven't read a lot of comics over the years. I did
No,
but
you're right. There's like a weird flatness to it that mm-hmm. makes it kind of extra creepy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is a twice-weekly comic done by two people, and it's actually like a pan-Brian Fuller content. So it seems to be grounded in Hannibal, but bringing in characters from all of his other stuff.
So all of his universes interact with each other.
Yes, which they do anyway.
Right.
But they, because I read the preview, there's like a 7-page preview. And then the next one it starts with has a bunch of the Reapers from Dead Like Me. So, yeah, I really... They're pretty short, too. Mm. They're usually like 4 to 6 panels, mm-hmm. it looks like. So I'd seen it and just kind of bookmarked it to come back to later. So,
And I think the creators were going to be at Comic-Con, New York Comic-Con last weekend.
Mm. So. They do other work. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so that was really cool.
That is very cool.
And they have a Patreon set up and everything. So I need to get it onto my check a couple times a week list. Next, something that came through, I might have seen this through Tumblr or something, was the Film Daily rating Hannagram's hottest moments. Did you see that?
I did see that.
And, you know, it's a nice thing to peruse, like in the middle of your day when you need a little inspiration or pick me up. I'm bringing it up because I just wanted to go through the list. 9 of them. The person is very pro season 4.
And well, that's good.
Yes, and is like, this will hold you over. But starting at number 9, the 9 hottest moments. When Hannibal pines for Will after he misses his appointment.
That's just sad.
You know? Before he drives to...
Oh.
Before he drives to Quantico. Just that mm-hmm. quick little drive from Baltimore. Pops on down there to see where Will is. Number 8 was... When Hannibal basically draws a fan art of him and Will as Achilles and Patroclus.
Oh, that's hysterical. I love that. Yeah, that's
a good one. You're like, I remember seeing that the first time and being like, is that what I think it is? It is.
Hannibal.
What are you doing? Number 7, when Hannibal bandages Will's hands.
That would be number 1 for me.
That's a...
I think.
That is a good one.
Yeah.
6, the time that Hannibal sniffs Will.
No, that's just creepy.
That is just creepy. 5, when Hannibal discovers, when Will discovers, that Hannibal is in love with him. Mm. Number 4, when Hannibal holds Will's head in his hands and stares into his eyes. That's the next, then the next one, the horse episode.
Yeah, but and it's the whole part before it, too, when he stops him from shooting the gun.
Yes. As they said, hot damn, is there anything more romantic in the world? True fact. Approximately 92% of Hannibal fans screamed, kiss him, during this season 2 moment, and were greatly disappointed when no such lip lock transpired. Number 3. When Hannibal embraced Will after mortally wounding him.
Mm.
2, that freaky ass 3-way that didn't really happen.
Yeah, that's a good one.
And number 1, when Hanagram embrace after killing Dollar-Eyed. Mm. Which I always think, for me, a big thing is from Sorbet, after when Hannibal thinks that Will is dead after he kills Tobias. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the look on his face.
Yeah.
When Will walks in the door, I'm like, sir, you're screwed.
Well, I would also put on that list the end of this episode we're about to talk about.
Oh, yeah.
That's like the beginning of, could have been, who knows what's going on in that office. Not therapy.
No. I mean, it could be therapeutic. I was just like, what is this? Jen put some notes onto our thing. It suddenly was crazy. That was a fun read. A little pick me up. And then something cool that came through Tumblr was from Foyer Norman Chapel, which is about the idea and concept of the Mind Palace and how it applies and how Hannibal would use it, kind of how it's broken down, and saying that literally, like, he says the entrance to his mind palace is the foyer of the Norman Chapel in Palermo, I think. Mm-hmm. And the person who was writing about it was saying that makes a lot of sense because you don't want something too ornate. You want it to be something very solid, and because it's going to lead into other things. And then they kind of talk about, like, the idea of the mind palace and how it's constructed.
I'll have to read that because it is really interesting, especially as you get into season 3. Where Hannibal has his conversations with people, because he's in his mind palace a lot, and who he's in his office with, and who he's in the chapel with, and
who gets access to different parts,
and in the books, there's a lot more elaboration on how he's constructed it, and how his ancestral home is, like, it's there, but he doesn't go there. Mm-hmm. And his mother's room, apparently, is, like, he can't access it, even though that was the beginning of his, that was the beginning of, like, how he built his palace out from when he was a child and started doing it. So it's, like, basically the foundational rock of his mind palace, but he can't go there.
I need to read the books again.
Yeah.
It is fall, so it's a good time for it. That was some good reading. And then if you are following our Tumblr, you may have seen that Jen got an awesome tattoo.
I did. I didn't even mean it to be so awesome. I just walked in there and I wanted the quote, "This is my becoming." And the artist who does a lot of horror stuff, and I really liked her work. Her drawing kind of reminds me a little bit of Charles Vess.
I agree.
Yeah. And so I really just wanted the words and maybe one or two things. And I told her to keep it, like, subtle Hannibal.
It's not subtle at all.
It's not subtle, which I'm totally fine with. Mm-hmm. And then when I came back for the appointment, she's like, I went to Janice Poon's blog that you sent me, and I looked through every picture because, oh my God, it was fucking amazing. Mm-hmm. And I was so inspired. So here's this thing. I'm like, okay, that's fine with me. Go ahead and put it on my arm.
Is she familiar with the show? Did she watch it?
She hasn't watched the show yet.
Oh.
Yeah, she hasn't watched it. She loves horror. And so she's going to watch it. Mm. But she had never, it wasn't even like on her radar, which is just like another one of those things. It happens all the time. It seems like people are like, what do you mean there was a TV show?
That's like when we were at Small Foods.
Yeah.
And people are like, oh, I know about Silence of the Lambs. And you're like, you didn't know about this amazing 3-season TV show?
Yeah, it just makes me go like, oh, come on, NBC. Really?
I know.
That's what you did to us. But anyway, so she is going to go watch it. She was super inspired by Janice's tablescapes and came up with this. And I absolutely love it.
Is it okay if I post it to Tumblr?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. And then when I posted it, Brian Fuller said it was gorgeous.
Yeah. Epic. I think he said it was epic.
He said it was epic, and he said it was gorgeous. And yeah, so.
He is good.
I had a little fangirl moment, because Brian's never said anything to us before.
I had a little fangirl moment. It's not even my tattoo. Well, Jen put it on Facebook, and I was like, you got to put that on our Twitter. I didn't expect that to happen, but. There you go. I mean, I'm not going to...
He must have been on because it was like 4 minutes after I posted
it. Oh, yeah, it was fast.
It's like, oh.
I think that's the thing. If he's going to respond to your stuff, it just has to happen when he happens to be on.
Yeah. So, but Mandy at Rose Red Tattoo in Ellicott City, I highly recommend her if you ever want to go get something done.
She will entertain your... all your ideas, and it won't be creeped out by the fact that you want a serial killer TV show.
Not at all. She actually just did a really cool tattoo for someone based on Hereditary.
Mm.
Of a decapitated bird head with a crown on it, dripping blood.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, she did. I think she's the same artist who did our friend Heather's. She's an arm piece that she's working on, and I know it has her. I know it has a bear in it, like for her husband, and all this other stuff. And it's the same. Like her, she's really colorful style.
She's really colorful. She really paints. Like I've never seen a tattoo artist be so painterly before. Yeah.
So this was all done in one session.
Yes.
Damn.
Yeah, it was the longest tattoo session because I was like, I think I'm going to have to split this up in two because I'm not really good at it. But this took her 3 hours.
Wow.
Yeah.
And when did you get it done?
Friday.
Wow.
Yeah.
And it's not like you're not red or anything?
Well, they do. I haven't had a new tattoo in a couple of years, and they do this new thing called Derma Shield.
Mm-hmm.
It was like a clear plastic tape that they put over it that you can leave on for like 24 hours.
Oh, nice.
And I think it helps it heal more than the old school saran wrap.
Yeah. Goo.
Stuff and goo.
It looks nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll post it up on Tumblr or you can check our Twitter. It was super awesome. I don't have any tattoos.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, you don't have any tattoos?
I attempted a tattoo myself as a teenager, so I have a little scratch thing on my ankle, but that's it. Justin's got me beat by one.
I also have a scratch on my ankle.
Oh, yeah. He has a scratch tattoo also. When we started dating, we were like, you tried to tattoo yourself as a teenager, too? With, like, India ink and a razor blade? Awesome. But he has the heart, the Maryland flag and the heart, one from Baltimore Tattoo Museum. He got it with a couple of friends. And I was like, nope, I refrain. And I'm not against him. I just, there's nothing I've been like, yes, indeed.
Yeah.
I'm going to commit to that.
Totally understandable.
Maybe I'll get there one day. Okay, I think that's all I had, unless you have anything else for now. Otherwise, we can get into our recap.
Oh, no, let's recap.
Let's talk about the good stuff. So the first thing I made a note of is how, like, comparing or contrasting, they start out with Miriam's intake scene compared to the intake scenes of all the men.
Oh.
Because there's Will's.
Yeah.
Then Chilton's.
Yep.
And then Hannibal's.
Yeah.
One after another. But some of the stuff that they're doing to her, like they show them scraping the dirt under her nails, the same that they did for Will. Mm-hmm. And they show them combing her hair like Bev did to Hannibal Suits when she was using the roller to like get stuff off of it. And it was just, in a way, it was kind of like, no matter whether you're the victim or the perpetrator, you're sort of treated the same way, in the same clinical way. And I mean, of all of those people, I mean, when Hannibal goes in, it's like, he's the only person who, like, deserves to be there. And everybody else is in, like, this state of trauma, particularly Miriam. Like, the close-ups on her face were amazing. But the, just the, like, to see, like, everybody in that same space, in that same pose, and sort of how they're treated. Though this time, when they intake Hannibal, I can't remember if Price and Zeller do it or not.
I don't know who's in that scene. I don't know that it's anybody particular. I think it's just sort of...
Because this time it's two women.
White-coated lab people. I'm guessing she's a woman. Yeah, I don't think it's Price and Zeller. Like, they don't do the whole bit that they do with the other two where Price and Zeller do the whole, like, one wallet, one thing.
So I was telling Justin
one
about that
fountain pen.
About the bloopers reel. And I'm, like, crying him up, and I was like, I'm just remembering the bloopers reel. And I'm assuming, like, they had two women, because they would probably have women do it for. But, and, you know, if Bev was still around, they would have had her. But, yeah, just that, like, I mean, it's so sad to see someone. Like, the only time it feels good, in a way, is like what is happening to Hannibal, because he deserves it.
Right.
But everybody else who has to go through that, even though Chilton's a piece of shit, not the reason he's there is not a good one. It's not his fault.
Darkest forensic lab ever.
Yes. Where you're probably having this done by stuff by people who know you, which I'm sure is really against protocol.
Yeah, that's all.
Then it's Jack listening to Miriam's message over and over and over again. No. And it's the whole, like, just that whole interplay of, like, of, I had here that I saw it as Jack reflecting on himself, like, reflecting on, like, his failure to find her originally, and how he relate, you know, this episode is frustrating because it's like Jack almost kind of gets a point about how he uses other people and then he falls right back
into the same thing. I know he's like, I'm so sorry how I treated you and I used you as a shield. And then he goes to pick up Will. He's like, come on, we're gonna go.
Yeah. same old.
Like, you're not really understanding this, are you, Jack?
Yes. And it's like he apologizes to Miriam for the same stuff that he's using
Will for. Yeah.
Like, the whole thing, he's like, you got too close. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you just basically farmed Will out.
Yeah, like, what part of Jack is, like, completely compartmentalized to the point where then he can just go deal with Will and not think, one day I'm going to find Will, like, dead in a well or so out of it that, like, that doesn't occur to him?
It kind of makes me think, like, after the show finale, I'm like, you know, I hope Jack blames himself.
But, you know, Jack Crawford after season three is still just going to be even more, we have to catch them.
We have to catch them. Get them.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah. Look, that note says photo, wound turkey. Justin had episode art inspiration while we were working on this. So they bring in Hannibal. The whole scene with Hannibal and Alana so that Miriam can listen. I was having the, like, I mean, TV show writing, whatevs. But it's just that thing where I'm like, why? Alana would never be allowed. Because they know each other. They're also sleeping together. And Jack, like.
Yeah. And Jack knows that.
It's the things now where I'm like, what are you fucking doing? Like, this is so stupid. And then Will getting out. Well, I think is this the first time he's put his glasses back on? Did he have them on in the courtroom scenes, but he doesn't usually wear them in the hospital?
Courtroom scenes, but yeah, he didn't have them on in the hospital. So it's definitely, there are these very clear changes in Will on this episode that are so great to see, and like putting the glasses back on. And then the beginning of the episode when he gets out of jail with his like fluffiest hair ever.
Damn.
And, you know, most sort of like little fishing jacket, whatever kind of thing to where you see him at the end of the episode is just the best thing ever. The contrast is just so fabulous.
As I said here, I was like, this is best Dark Will.
Yeah. It's just, it's so great. Because he's already acting that way, you know. He's already like had it with Jack.
He looks so hot.
Yeah.
I am a sucker for those girls. So then they go to this crazy ass farm that's not that far from Quantico, which again is, I'm like, I feel like it's a dig from Hannibal to be like, I've been doing the shit literally right under your noses.
Yeah.
And you haven't realized what's going on.
Oh, totally it is.
And which made me then reflect, they're like, okay, so he has this whole setup. You can see he has the plates from when he cut up Bev. And all her blood and everything, which is makes me realize. So people speculate about what she saw in his basement that surprised her when she went down there. And I've seen speculation that, oh, it's his, you know, his workroom. But I was like, I think they make it kind of clear that like he does the dirty work here. I think the only person maybe not was Gideon, because he had him at his house.
It could have been Gideon, which is an absolute horrible thing to see now that we've seen.
Did he have Gideon at that point? I thought that was afterwards.
Yeah, he does, because he uses the rest of Gideon in this episode.
Right, but I think he kills Bev first. Then he gets Gideon.
Okay.
He only had Gideon for like an episode or two.
He did an awful lot to Gideon.
Yeah. Because the last episode was when he serves him his leg.
Right.
It makes me think that it sort of, some people speculated that she sees Abigail.
I think Brian Fuller said, and I might be wrong, but I'm pretty sure he said it was Abigail that she saw.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which kind of, it drives that home a little bit for me. Which then I'm like, so if Abigail's there, then when did she probably end up moving to the cliff? Because I think he kept her at the cliff house. And, but again, you know, he would really enjoy keeping Abigail in that house. And people are in and out all the time. And they never know.
Yeah.
Well,
probably. I bet he moved Abigail when Will got out of jail.
Yeah, that would make sense. He's got to save that surprise. I said that this is watching Will in this. It's like Will has all of his powers all collected and pulled together. It's like he's not doing that recollection and everything. Like in the season one, he's so fucked up every time he does this. And this is him like focused.
Yep.
Pulled together.
He's not sweating buckets.
He's not sweating buckets at all. He's totally cool and collected. Curls on point. So cute. And Will gets to go home to his home that we're going to stand in less than 2 weeks.
We're
going to
be at Will's house. I'm so excited.
I messaged Jen this week and I was like, oh shit, our trip is in 2 weeks.
That's going to be great.
I went to Marshall's yesterday and bought a suitcase because I'd have to borrow one from my hairdresser again. She would have lent it to me. This whole thing, like Alana is being such a bitch. She's like so accusatory and she's like, because you tried to kill Hannibal and all this stuff. And it's like,
is Hannibal going to be okay? Like, ah!
I'm like, Will could have been executed. And you're like, wah, wah, Hannibal.
Well, and Will's really the one. I mean, you can see it in that scene. He totally knows, you know, what's going on. What Hannibal's doing with Alana and how manipulated Alana's being. And he really holds back from saying what he really should say to Alana. It's just like, you should be careful.
Yeah.
He could say a lot more than that, but, you know.
She's just like so nasty about the whole thing. Mm-hmm. Had she been on his entire side while he was in jail?
On Will's side?
Mm-hmm. I can't remember if she flip-flops.
She kind of flip-flops. I mean, she's there to be, like, helpful, mm-hmm. like, helpful Alana, but, yeah, she does go back and forth as far as if she thinks Will's a killer yeah. or not, and she's very conflicted about it.
And, like, I don't feel like she has to be, like, the super nurturing, like, lady role or yeah. anything. It's just that, like...
Yeah, I mean, I think the other side of it, though, is, and I know people have brought this up before, is we're watching the show from Hannibal's point of view in a lot of ways, so mm-hmm. we see all the manipulation. And for Alana, who does not, you know, she's being very, very manipulated by a very powerful person. And so part of it is that, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, if he was able to do what he did to Miriam last, then he's doing a sort of gentler version of it to Alana. Mm-hmm. And the outcome is that she's completely awful to Will.
Yeah.
But it's still
awful. I think this is the part when people are like, what the fuck, Alana? Yeah. Like, it's, yeah, season, end of season two, Alana is, like, not that great.
Yeah. Way more better, like, season three, Alana.
Oh, yeah. So much better. If you hear any crunching in the background, listeners, that is our newest podcast partner, Shadow.
We are also gaining rescue dogs by yes. the
by the second. Yeah. Justin and I brought her a Himalayan cheese chew, which is like cheese, like a stick. And
that's about a third of the way gone.
And it's pretty damn popular.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we have another dog.
Rescue dog number two.
Yay. If anybody wants a kitten, just one hanging outside of Jen's house.
Give you some kittens.
Yeah, I just had written here that Alana and Will's relationship is crap.
Yeah.
And it's, I don't know if there's, like, still rollover from season one when, like, that whole pseudo-relationship bullshit. She's like, I like you, but I can only see you as a collection of your problems.
Yeah, and you're too messed up, Will. I'm sorry, but I'm going to give you this hug because nobody else is hugging you.
He just needs hugs. Poor Will. I'll hug him. And Chilton goes in to talk to Jack. And I'm like, poor Chilton, you can't win.
Like, I'd rather not die.
No. Well, and this is really, I think it's this scene, maybe, I can't remember someone with, which one it is, where he is sort of, echoing from Silence of the Lambs, his whole thing about, I will do something from a place far removed from here, like that whole, and it's like, you're not gonna be able to get away.
Yeah.
Like, you're never gonna be able to get away. I also had this feeling this time as I was watching it of Chilton as the viewer stand-in. Like the person who's like, I know what's going on, I understand what's going on, I'm trying to get the hell away from all of this, like, and he's like the sane person. I mean, even though he is an egotistical asshat,
right?
He is, in a way, like, the smart person in this entire thing. He's like, I know what's going on, and peace out.
Yeah. He just made that decision a little too late in the process. Yeah.
And everybody else is like, I have a clue as to what's going on, and I guess I'll just stick around and see what happens. I'm like, you all are stupid. There was the scene with Will and Miriam, which I think was really, like, to me, it was that this one where they really drew the Clarice Miriam. Mm-hmm. They were really, it seems like it was there to, like, kind of drive that home and to build that bond. And I mean, Will already knows what happened to him, but I'm sure it helps to know that it happened to somebody else.
Yeah, there's that bit where she says the guru, and he's like, what are you talking about? Mm-hmm. She's like, oh, you know, Jack Crawford, the guru.
Well, it's kind of like,
right.
And I can hear it when she's talking to Jack, where she's like, oh, I just hear music, and I'd wake up and smell fresh flowers, and then I'd feel the sting of a needle, and I'm like, oh, it's all the end of Hannibal, which I know that part of the Hannibal book and movie really bothered some fans, but I didn't really mind it.
I loved it, but, I mean, for me, it was like, you know, the end of season three of Hannibal, just with Hannibal and Clarice and not Hannibal and Will.
I don't mind. I'm like, just get more wrapped up. I don't care.
Yeah.
It's not supposed to have a happy, productive, healthy ending. It's
no.
supposed to be bad.
Not at all.
And then we have the best scene, the kitchen.
Oh my God.
Which I just love the fact that, like, they draw that little bit of humanity of, like, Hannibal coming home from a hard day at work and he needs a glass of wine. And right. We've all felt like that. We've all been there.
He's probably like, I'm just going to order a pizza tonight.
I know.
Fuck it.
He hasn't even taken his coat off.
Right. Turns around and there's his special boyfriend. Yeah.
Where would he get pizza from in Baltimore? Oh, Iggy's probably.
I've never been to Iggy's.
It was good the times I was there, yeah. But all I have written here is Dark Will.
Well, what's interesting to me about this scene, rewatching it, is Hannibal is not only like excited, mm-hmm. right, but he's also truly terrified because I think he sees Will as he's become for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when he asks him something about, like, well, like, why would you do this? And it's something about a sense of righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember the exact
line. The righteousness line reminded me in season 3 when Bedelia's like, oh, look, you've got religion.
Right. Right. But when Will says it's out of righteousness, you can see Hannibal, like, all of a sudden, like, take him seriously as a mm-hmm. serious killer mm-hmm. and not somebody that's just threatening him with a gun.
Yeah.
Like, something shifts where it's like, oh, Will's got righteousness yeah. now in this way that he's never had before.
Well, and he's not just doing it because it's his job or because he's supposed to. Mm-hmm. He's doing it for his own reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and when you have somebody with that kind of conviction, they are super dangerous because they're like, I know yeah. what I'm doing is right.
Yeah. Yeah, he's not under Hannibal's manipulative control anymore. Mm-hmm. It's like the little baby murderer is all grown up and got his own things, you know, and he's coming back. And that's what's really fascinating about the scene because I think Hannibal is terrified. And at the same time, he's like excited yeah. and thrilled that Will is this way.
Well, I don't think any of the other people he groomed or whatever ever got to that point.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like he's finally seeing the fruition of all of his, like, scheming.
Mm-hmm.
Also, he's in love.
Also, he's too. In love. Yeah.
Well, and I had a note here. Hannibal is appealing to Will with knowledge, which really hammered home that, like, Satan analogy that they use, like, that thing where, you yeah. know, like, offering him.
Don't you want to know?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Yes.
Why this all happened?
Yes. And I was like, ooh, I like that. And also he's dangling the whole understanding
mm-hmm.
thing.
I was like, no, wait. I really do have more to teach you.
Mm-hmm. And I understand who you are. And
I know you feel completely cooked at this point, but I have more to teach you.
Yeah. Good job, Hannibal.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks to you, we have the rest of season 2. Yes, I love that scene.
Mm. That would be up there in my top 10.
Most romantic. Well,
most romantic
when Hannibal does the thing where he sort of flinches and turns his face to the side, yes. I was like, damn.
Yes. Mm. Yes. It's like this total like submission moment.
Mm-hmm.
Like showing his neck. Oh my God. Mm-hmm. It's totally hot.
Shadow agrees. She just got very happy and excited. I have here, I think this is the scene when Jack and Miriam go to Hannibal's office.
Mm.
And I really like how they filmed this, the juxtaposition, particularly the shot where it shows her picking up the artwork and it's the wound man and then picking up the artwork and it's not there.
I thought it would have been funny, though, if it was, like, a fanfic photo of Will. You
know? It'd be like, what's this?
Pointing a gun at him or something.
What are you even working on? But this is one of those, like, Hannibal loves to tread close to the line.
Mm-hmm.
When he's like, oh, you remember that light thing? Well, let's do it again.
Yeah.
And it made me wonder if her response pattern is something he set in her ahead of time. But he also likes to have a little bit of like a, I think he likes it when things aren't too set. To make it more interesting.
So. Oh, yeah. I think absolutely. Everything he does, there's a bit of like, this could all go wonky and be really dangerous. And so he doesn't get bored.
Yeah.
Because I imagine he's pretty bored with most people.
Yes. Yeah. No, I agree with it. I definitely agree with it.
So.
And then the lab. Okay. This scene was a big what the fuck for me. Because Will says at the farmhouse or the lair. He says, you're going to find a piece of evidence that points you away from Hannibal. And they say, we found a partial fingerprint on a flower petal that is Hannibal.
Hannibal Lecter's. Right.
And then actually talking about this, I think I get a little bit more. And suddenly everyone's like, Chilton.
Well, because what they mean is that you're going to find something that points you away from the actual killer.
Right.
So now they're thinking, oh, Chilton put that fingerprint there.
And see, and I tend to see that as, if Hannibal's print is there, see, to me, I see the doubleness of it. I'm like, then it would be Hannibal, because he put that there. So you'd be like, that's ridiculous. It's obviously somebody else. It pointed you away from him.
Right.
When the, it's what, the Occam's razor, the most logical thing. And it's like, you know, nobody could be like, wait, wait, wait. If we're doubting that it's Hannibal, even when his print is there, maybe it is him.
Maybe. Yeah, the whole scene was like, wait a minute. Here's another idea. And you're like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the whole, and the whole thing with like, oh, we found Hannibal Lecter's fingerprint. Well, you've been using him as an FBI consultant the entire time Will's been in jail. So his fingerprints are probably on fucking everything.
Flower petals, pretty like.
I mean, you could easily explain that. Like, oh, yeah, he didn't have his gloves on. And
yeah. Well, I don't know. Did he go to this scene?
No. Oh, I mean, not in the show, but he had access to the lab and paperwork and everything else.
I had a note here, but I forgot what the blood work was that was more interesting than a print. Oh, the. They found the same medication in Miriam's blood work that Chilton used for Will and all. And I'm like, but if those are pretty common things to do that kind of stuff, then it could be anybody.
Right.
And they're like, it's obviously Chilton because he uses Chilton. These unscrupulous methods. And I'm like, you are fucking idiots. I mean, we know this. We get the luxury of being outside the picture, but yeah, because Jack immediately jumps on it. And I'm like, as he's reflecting on what Will just said, and I'm like, do not get what he's saying to you? No, he isn't, because he's Jack. And we have Chilton's house, which I was like, is so ostentatious yet sterile. It's like he wants it to be super, super awesome, but he doesn't have enough in it to in him to like pull it together to make it
personal? It looks like exactly it's such a great contrast to Hannibal's house, you know, because he clearly wants to have as much as Hannibal has,
and they're like equally the show places and all that stuff, but Hannibal's feels lived in and Chilton obviously orders a lot of takeout
and just, you know, buys art for however much it's worth on the market rather than.
And when they go in the basement, it's like the wall of wine. Like, so you can see it. It's not like hidden away. It's there. So you can see everything.
Showy, showy, showy.
And they. He goes down into the basement. Okay, first off, he hears that beeping. And considering what's happening, I would piece the fuck out.
Yeah, I would have been out the door.
I'm like, no, I'm not hanging out here. And then the room that he finds Gideon, I was like, what is this crazy tiled room in your basement? It's just like some strange tiled.
I don't know. Maybe like a really fancy sauna?
Maybe like a laundry room cleaning thing? There's like a bank of power switches or like. Like
really?
Switches in the wall. I mean, you know, like a big. But then Hannibal shows up, and I thought he looks like
hysterical.
He looks like a Ken doll, because his suit is the same color as his skin, and then he's encased in plastic, and he just looks like. I kind of the first time whenever he's in the plastic suit, he looks like a fucking idiot.
I'm sure he felt like one too.
I know.
Squeaking around.
Yes, it's another opportunity, Justin, for you to do some music editing.
Squeak, squeak.
He's a bully.
Squeak, squeak, yeah. Squeak.
But it's hysterical. It's really one of those moments where in Hannibal where you're like, oh, Hannibal is a really weird motherfucker.
Look at the collar all popped up around his face.
Yeah, some, well, and that's a little, very much like a little American Psycho to me.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah, totally. And this, I'm sorry, I'm looking at my notes here.
Mm.
I guess this is when Chilton shows up at Will's house.
Oh my God, this is so funny too.
First off, I was like, if he had enough time to pack a go bag, did he not have enough time to change his clothes?
He probably already had a go bag,
mm.
Right? If you're Chilton,
yeah,
you already got one.
It's probably already in his car.
Yeah, it's like there. But it's just poor Chilton, you know. First he had to deal with Hannibal, and then he runs to Will. Will's just sitting there in the chair, like,
who's like, don't care, motherfucker.
Nothing for you.
It's like, why should I help your ass out? And I mean, I said, I was like, I think, you know, Will just gives up Chilton to bring in Hannibal. Because mm-hmm. he's like, if you know where Chilton is and shit keeps happening, you're going to know.
Right.
It's not him.
Right.
And
right.
All of that.
So that's like, I call the FBI. Mm-hmm. Everything's good. But no. Doesn't happen.
Well, Will's also, I feel like he's doing exactly what Jack would do, which is like, use somebody and give them up
mm-hmm.
in order mm-hmm. to get mm-hmm. what you want.
Yeah.
And I was like, I mean, Chilton's just so pathetic.
He is so pathetic.
In the scene.
It's so sad. I mean, he points the gun at Will, and Will's like, you're not a killer. Come on.
Well, then when he's, like, running through the snow, I'm like, could you believe that this man could be the Chesapeake Ripper who hoists somebody into a tree and does yeah. all this stuff, and he can't even make it up this little snowy like, hill?
Just stop.
And really, and I want to be, like, really Jack, like, you just showing up there by yourself, like,
yeah.
Like, what the hell? But yeah, when Chilton, like, turns around, and he's all sweaty and, like, this melted snow. I'm like, this is sad. This is just sad. There's no sense of victory here.
I love how Will calls him Frederick. I'm still, like, a Dr. Lecter. And yeah. he's like, come on, Frederick. Like, ooh, Will.
So casual. So demeaning.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have him in the lab. Like I said, it's the scene where they're intaking, doing
right,
his intake.
Right.
And the thing that got me here was that they're so smug. Like, Price and Zeller are like, you know, but when they're just the way they deal with him and the mm-hmm. way they're reading out the stuff. And I would be like, you know, you were wrong once.
I know. There goes Zeller again. Like, oh, I hate this guy. He's the killer now.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, man, come on.
I know. I mean, he's the kind of like, that's sort of his position, is to, like, yes, kind of be
outraged
yeah.
about things.
And all that.
Yeah.
But I'm like, do you people never learn anything? You never learn anything.
They never learn anything.
No, they're terrible. And then we have the awesome scene at the end. Will comes back. Because he can't stay. He just can't quit Hannibal.
I love this scene so much. I actually, at one point, really wanted to pair it with the beginning of Careless Whisper. And then I looked it up and somebody had already done that. Of course.
Yes. I was like, I wish I had a pen. I'd write myself a note to look that up. And I'll remember when I listen to this episode.
It's fabulous. Yeah, because he opens the door and Will's like, got the backside. He turns around.
I don't know any of the lyrics or I'd start singing them.
It's really funny.
Suddenly I'm seeing Toya dance to it.
But yeah, I mean, it's the beginning of a new, you know.
A new era
of Hattagram. But yeah, I mean, this scene could totally be the beginning of like a really good porno.
Yeah. Or a really bad one, kind of depends on how it ends.
Yeah.
Well, as I have here, is the forehead curl means business.
Yes. His all his crazy hair is like slicked back. He's got like the soft pink shirt on. And I noticed this time in the scene after he walks in and, you know, he says, oh, well, you're right on time, you know, for your 7:30 appointment. Is it still open? And Will says the next two lines, and Hannibal's still looking at his watch, like stunned in the background, like, oh my God, he really showed up at 7:30 on Friday.
You know what? If you have a 7:30 p.m. Friday, like, standing appointment with your therapist, that's not a standing appointment with your therapist. That's a date. That's a standing Friday night date.
Yeah, Friday, 7:30. You guys always drink wine.
Occasionally there's some, you go out, you know, you end up at his house for dinner. It's a date.
Yeah, you speak in metaphors.
There's a fire. The lights are low. It's a date.
But yeah, the whole, like, I'd like to resume my therapy. I'm like, oh my God.
That should be like the is it a therapy appointment or date bingo?
What a line.
I had a note here that, like, all their talk, I was like, this is relationship talk. Like, this is not therapy talk. This is
relationship stuff. And in fact, I copy and pasted the entire last part of the scene into our show notes. I just couldn't get over the whole thing. I couldn't get over it.
Oh, I totally skipped writing anything about the whole scene when, like, Chilton gets shot.
Oh, whatever. He gets shot. Oh no, you killed Kenny! He'll be back to get killed again.
Yeah.
Whatever, Chilton. Are you expecting someone? Only you.
Does sound like Bourne.
Kept my standing appointment open. And you're right on time. I have to deal with you and my feelings about you. Like, oh my God. Come on, you guys.
Maybe that's it. It's therapist appointment, date, or porn.
Right. All three.
Oh, the perfect intersection. So, yes, I am super looking forward to the rest of season two.
Oh, this is when it gets great.
Mm-hmm.
Like, from here on out, it's just a roller coaster ride of fabulousness.
So, this was episode 7. So, we have 6 more episodes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. We're going to try and line up some live first-time viewers for the end of the season, possibly.
I don't know. They might have, like, launched themselves past it already, but if not...
We'll do something. We'll do something momentous.
We're definitely going to live something it. Watch it. Yes. Just record us watching it. Yeah. just record us being silent except for my sobbing in the background.
That's the sound of Amy crying. Thank you for listening to this hour-long podcast. To our two listeners that are still out there.
Well, the podcast I recommended last time, New Year Business, one woman, Megan, did watch all of season 1 of Hannibal. Yay! After she said she was too scared.
All right.
And she agreed. Episode 10.
Yes. Will make you jump from your bedroom door to your bed very fast. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'd still do it if I thought my bed could take it, but it's from IKEA, so it can. And if it fell, there might be a cat underneath it, so.
It would not go good.
It would not go good.
Well, good. Yay.
Yeah. That's exciting. I was sort of like, maybe you should do season 2.
Yeah. It just gets better and better.
I can kind of understand if people have to, like, peace out, at least on the beginning of season 3. Because it does get real trippy in there from the Italy arc.
Yeah, I guess if you're not prepared for it,
mm-hmm.
I can see how people... I mean, I loved it. I can see how some people are like...
Well, once I realized from the way you described it to me that, no, it wasn't Richard Armitage as an Italian pool boy running around in, like, short shorts... When you describe season 3 to me, you were like, so there's Richard Armitage, and he's just running around in, like, his underwear, shorts,
doing yoga.
And he's like, and they're in Italy, and something, something, and however you described it, my head took that and mashed it into they're in Italy, and Richard Armitage is, like, some, like, Italian pool boy, right. Like, running around.
Sure.
I have no idea why it was like that.
That
I don't
sounds
know
like
why
a I'm, great AU, I think.
And I was like, I know who Richard Armitage is. And I had never, I hadn't read, I had not read Hannibal at that point. Which has all the Italian stuff.
Okay.
So I didn't
see why you were confused then.
Yeah, I didn't quit. I was like, oh, so they go to Italy and they're like, it's, in my head, it was like some sort of Under the Tuscan Sun.
It's the Red Dragon in Italy.
And then I was watching it. I was like, this is, nope, completely different.
With cafes and pools and
wine
things.
And stuff.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was like a great, like, such a pivotal episode. Like, it's not a super, like, it's, I feel like all the drama in this one is like interpersonal.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a lot of action, but it's all like the stuff that's set up for the rest of the rest of the season.
Rolls out and things are gonna happen.
And this is when all the Verger stuff starts.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
gonna get good.
Yay!
In 2 weeks, we'll be at Fanable Fest.
Yay!
That reminds me, are the Stag Awards thing still open? I sent myself an... You can, like, go read the stuff and look at the art and all to make...
Oh, really?
Vote. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, I didn't know if the voting was still open or not.
Yeah, I'm gonna see if it's still open.
Okay, cool.
I've been not doing real great about, like, keeping up on stuff.
Yeah.
Sorry, we had to binge season 2 of The Good Place. Didn't really get around to a lot of other stuff. And recommendations I had, because I pulled this one up because I thought it might help people. The Rec Center newsletter this week is number 143, Coffee Shop AUs.
Oh, Lord.
And they were basically like, people probably need something nice to, like, cope and all that stuff. Yeah. So, they had some, like, Tumblr posts and some thought pieces, and then they have their fic recs are all coffee shop. And there's one that is a Marvel one where I just forgot his name, Magneto.
Eric Linkshire?
Yeah.
Linkshire?
Owns a kosher bakery.
Ah!
And Charles Xavier is, like, a professor. I haven't read it. But I thought
I
of you.
I do love them.
I know. Which reminds me, I'm going to go back to what I'm talking about, but did you see the Dark Phoenix
trailer? Yeah. Interesting.
I'm like, oh, I hope this isn't completely screwed up. That's one of the few storylines I've read in the X-Men universe.
Yeah.
And I know it's such a, like, epic one. And
so epic. Yeah. I mean, it's like, you know, if you talk to Buffy people about Dark Willow, and I think Dark Willow was really based on that, honestly. I don't know that anybody's ever said anything, but it was that epic.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for her to go that bad and that powerful was insane. And kill a whole planet of broccoli people, which probably won't be in the movie.
Probably not. Who's playing Jean Grey in this?
The same actress that played her last. She was in Game of Thrones as one of the Stark.
Oh, people, yeah.
But I can't think of her name.
Okay. I was like, she looks really familiar, but I haven't watched Game of Thrones.
Yeah. Yeah. She's best known for Game of Thrones. Okay. I think. She does a pretty good job, I think. Eh, kind of. Yeah, we'll see. I don't know.
I know. You can't put your hopes up for any of them.
I can't.
I mean, you said that Apocalypse, you felt like they got her character right.
I thought at the end of, I mean, I didn't love that movie, but the very end, the Jean part, and especially the bit between her and Professor X and that relationship was, they started to get that. And the trailer has some of that where they go into, Professor X was a real jerk.
Oh, yeah.
By blocking her powers, basically, for most of her life, because he was afraid that this was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't tell anybody. Mm-hmm. And I can see in the trailer, like, they're actually going to dig into that, which is really good.
Yeah.
Because, when you go back and read a lot of X-Men, you're like, oh, my God, Professor X was a horrible fucking person.
Did you see my message to you that I saw Magneto made some good point shirt?
Yeah, like, yeah. Some valid points.
We were at a bagel place. And I'm standing and, you know, waiting for our food. And I look over and I see what, and I was like, Justin, it's an Explain the X-Men shirt in the wild. And I was going to like run up to the person. And I was like, no, let me not do that in the middle of Towson Hot Bagels. I'm to blame for the fact I had any coffee yet. It makes me kind of sad because I'm like, wow, it sounds like this is something that would really do well with a TV show treatment.
Yeah.
Where they could work on it.
Well, I think the X-Men storylines in general would do better with TV, and I think they have been. Mm-hmm. Like, the Gifted that's on right now is pretty interesting, although they just had a very horrible childbirth, like one of those stupid childbirth scenes where it's like, nobody really understands childbirth who wrote this episode. Yeah. That really is stupid. But for the most part, they're, like, it's better as, like, a series thing.
I saw that. I remember being like, oh, I wonder if Jen's seen this. Sorry, but back to the coffee shop AUs. I did pull something out of this. There was a Tumblr where somebody was talking about how they're amazed. They worked as a barista and how they were amazed that coffee shops became the comfort AU. And I so identified with this because I worked at Borders for 7 years and I worked a lot of them in the cafe. And I mean, retail is always just a, it can be boring, but there's stuff happening behind the scenes. It's often a wild ride, and particularly in the cafe. And one of the, like, the first point that they made of the place they worked was a coworker of mine took a bunch of psychedelics, walked through some stranger's plate glass door, and threatened him with a Bowie knife. I always say the wrong way. Leading to his arrest and imprisonment, and needless to say, a late opening for the coffee shop that morning.
That sounds like a Hannibal coffee shop.
It's like a Hannibal coffee shop. And the person wraps up this, like, there was probably like 8 points, and all of them are
pretty
horrific. And they end with, like, working in the front lines of food service was the most operatically sorted professional experience I have ever had, and one of the most surreal. And it's hilarious to me that of all jobs, is the one that has come to stand for soft-focused domestic romance and fandom circles. And I was like, that's because everybody's writing it from the point of view of going to a coffee shop and not actually working there. Which is, like, I have the thing now of, like, there's always the, like, oh, it's cozy to go to a coffee shop and sit there and read or whatever. And I go to a coffee shop and I'm like, you got to restock the stuff over here. Oh, God, somebody didn't wipe down the tables. Like, whoa, look at this line of people. That's so it's like I can never turn it off.
Oh, no.
I mean, after working, particularly Borders was I think it was because it was just a lot of people in the same-ish age and those interactions. But I actually worked in coffee for a very long time. And yeah, so I, even though I love going to cafes, it's like it never turns off. And I'm like, there's nothing domestic or soft about any of this. So I feel your person. And then you have a post here, an Etsy listing.
Oh, because I was on Etsy and they know me by now. So they actually recommended this to me, but it's a Hannibal victims poster. That's really cool. So it's, like, a black silhouette of Hannibal with the tie, and then it's got two big stag horns coming out of him, and one stag horn charts all of his murder victims and the other side charts all of the killers that Will has caught. It's pretty cool looking. So I just thought I'd recommend it here because it's kind of, I might get it. It might be here soon.
Right here, maybe even in this kitchen.
I thought it was really neat looking.
I'll put the link in our show notes. Yeah. That sounds cool. There's all sorts of, I still haven't hung up any of the artwork I actually have because I'm terrible because I have too much stuff going on. So yeah, I think that's it. I guess we'll probably do a wrap up after Fannibal Fest.
Yes, let's do that. Yeah, that'll be fun.
We're going with our friend Brooke, which is going to be super fun.
Yeah, that'll be exciting.
And kind of exhausting. What, we're getting into town Wednesday?
Wednesday, and then Thursday is the site tours, and then Friday and Saturday is more fun. Maybe we'll do some on-the-spot interviews.
Yeah, Sunday morning is more fun, and then we fly out Sunday evening.
Yeah.
And I still don't know if I'm going to work on Monday. Probably not. They don't deserve it. So yeah, we will talk about it then. Yeah. We're looking forward to meeting some new people and seeing some people we've met before. Mm-hmm. It'll be great. Mm-hmm. I keep telling people I'm going to Toronto, and they're like, well, where are you going? I'm like, well, a hotel by the airport. I'll be on a bus tour at one point.
Yeah, that's also the exciting part of the bus tours. We get to see outside. You get to be outside the hotel. So.
And a bus full of people with the same, you know, same crazed fandom as you.
I'm so excited for the bus tour.
I'm already like, what am I going to wear? do I need to get pajamas for breakfast on Sunday?
Yes.
Something like that. So in the meantime, you can visit us at headfulofhannibal.com, headfulofhannibal on Tumblr and Instagram, though I haven't posted there in ages, and headfulofhanny on Twitter. We still have a phone number. It's 302-404-HEAD. If you want to also talk to us about the best Dark Will, mm-hmm. if you want to, you know, make poetry about his beautiful curls or...
That'd be awesome.
Yes, if somebody wants to write any, like, Will Curl haiku, like, I'm totally up for it.
Dramatically read it?
Yes.
On the podcast? That'd be great.
That would be dramatic. Dramatic cannibal poetry. So, yeah. We will be back in a couple of weeks. And, yeah. We look forward to seeing some people soon.
Yay! Bye!